the bride with a knife that's 1 inch wide? Where is the groom dead in the dressing room?
Stabbed in the heart because death do us part.
That is a creepy song.
It is. Welcome to the first episode of Death Do Us Part. I'm Laura.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we created this podcast because we love murder.
That's true. We love all things true crime, but specifically those crimes of passion.
Right. Our main interest is maricide. Because in most cases, I feel like you choose your spouse, and then how do you flip from being so in love with them that you want to spend every single day together for the rest of your lives to turn around and then be stabbing them?
So maricide, that's when a spouse kills their significant other?
Yes,
I thought it was the city in San Diego, so thank you for correcting me.
Not to be confused with matricide, which is when a child kills their mother, which is a wormhole I went down earlier today.
I thought that's when you stabbed a mattress.
That's how you get your good night's sleep, right?
Sorta. Bringing mattresses to you with knives and holes. So we have a great deal of fun. Another hobby of ours, which is creating the hypothetical murder scenarios of our significant others over their pet peeves, or rather over our pet peeves of them. So for me, that's my wife, and Laura, for you, that's your husband.
And I get this bonus double scoops because it's also my sister.
Yeah, your husband's not your sister. My wife is your sister.
Right, your wife is my sister. And so therefore, I get to plot the hypothetical murders of my husband, who I have a lot of pet peeves about, and even better, my sister, who I might have more pet peeves about.
Well, you have lived with her longer in your life than your husband still at this point in time. Now, we don't condone murder, and we would never harm our spouses. That's why we joke around about it. And I think really this all started when Kelly, my wife, your sister, and I were together, and you had all these shitty boyfriends coming through, and I would always say, hey, you want me to take care of them? Just let me know, because I wanted to be a big brother. So she became my little sister. And so then when your husband Nick came into the picture, I don't know, somehow it got worse, even though he was better than the rest. Instead of becoming, you know, taking care of your ex-boyfriend, it became how to kill your husband. So
fun right. Times. Our motto is, I'll provide the body.
And I'll provide the shovel.
So just to protect us, we have to remind you that we are all doing hypothetically. We're not actually planning on killing our spouses, and we do not support you murdering your spouses either. So let's have a real quick break while we talk about our disclaimer.
DDUP expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in this podcast.
In other words, don't be stupid. So for our first episode, we decided to focus on marriage, one of the most stressful things in a couple's life. And you think if you could get through that, you could get through anything, right?
You would think so.
And so our theme song, which may seem kind of obvious, after we did some research about it, we found out it has a sordid past. In fact, it comes from an opera. Well, you know what? Before we do this, we should open this because I want some of the champagne. We brought some champagne since our first episode's about weddings.
I think this is going to be a common theme going forward, is curated alcohol that goes with the murder theme.
And if our spouses prepare the drinks, then we might die while being recorded.
We might have to get some of those poison testers.
I'm really disappointed this doesn't have a cork. And I wanted it to go.
We're so fancy. We've got the twist top. You can hear the crack as it opens for the first time. It only matches the fact that we're drinking it out of stemless football glasses.
Yep, NFL. I couldn't help but laugh. We should be talking while we're pouring drinks. So this song, it comes from an opera, a very old opera. called Lohengrin. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's Lohengrin. How I would pronounce it.
So in the opera, it's a tragedy, as you might presume, based on our topic of conversation. There's a wonderful wedding, and the bridal chorus, dum dum dum, actually comes after the wedding procession itself. So it's the bridesmaids singing to the bride and groom, and then the man in question, the husband, the newly wedded husband, Lohengrin, murders 5 wedding guests and leaves his newly wedded wife, Elsa, not like Elsa and Anna, behind. So I don't know why anyone would play that at their wedding if it has such a terrible past.
You're also forgetting the part where he leaves and then she just dies afterwards from pure sadness.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She
does. So there's basically 6 murders in this story. So in tribute to...
I hope
it
doesn't sound like just peeing.
I was kind of thinking that it did, but...
There you go.
Should we cheers?
I think we have to cheers. And then some bridegroom in some other place kisses and then dies. Is that what happens?
Yes. Isn't that what happens at all weddings?
Happened to mine.
So, in tribute to this being our first podcast episode, and our first murder-worthy pet peeve is going to be literally bridezillas. Because if you've gone through a wedding, you have to know that there are points where you're stressed and annoyed and angry and questioning everything. Are orchids really the best flower choice? Should we just elope? Why did I say I would write my vows? How much money would I save if I just murdered my fiancé instead? So this, a wedding murder actually happened in Brazil. And it was a beautiful winter wedding, December 19th, 2010, so not even that long ago. And so I got most of this from a Daily Beast article, and I actually wrote down the tagline because I have to tell you about it because it was so good. It goes, "The bride was gorgeous, the best man beaming, but the groom was out for blood."
That's good. I like
so
that.
So good. So... it was 29-year-old salesman Rodrigo Damascena, which I am murdering his name. I'm so sorry.
I don't think it matters. He murdered a bunch of people.
That's true. It's
you could insert whatever expletives you want around that guy's name.
Rodrigo Damascena. So he marries his 25-year-old lawyer fiance named Renata. They've been dating for 3 years. They have a beautiful wedding. There's
so if he doesn't like this girl. And they've been together 3 years. How terrible must she have been for him to wait to plan this? Not that I want to put the onus on her, but couldn't he have done this sooner?
I really think it's his fault, because if you don't want to marry someone, you just break up with them. Or honestly, it's 2019, you probably just ghost them. Which
yeah, just stop
is way
text,
easier right? than murdering people.
Yeah, you save on your phone bill and you don't go to jail.
So they had 200 guests. Everything was beautiful. It was at this really nice, like, resort. Amazing. Way better probably than my wedding. All the money was spent. Cut to 2:30 a.m., which, one, utterly ridiculous. This is the longest wedding I've ever heard of. Ours ended at 10 p.m., and I was so tired. What are you doing at 2:30 a.m.? Nothing good.
This is South America. They know how to party.
That's true. They have way more stamina than I think my partying ever was, even in my keen partying days.
Keen partying days? Your prime?
My prime. I didn't want to say it was past my prime.
No,
it's past my prime now. I've hit my peak. It's all downhill from here.
Once you have children, you're past your prime, right?
Yes.
You can't stay out late. You can't party anymore. It's not your fault.
You sit in your office with some... champagne and some...
Champagne was a bad choice, by the way, because now I'm just trying to hold burps in from all the carbonation.
I did read that you shouldn't drink carbonated drinks. I forgot to tell you that. Okay, so
Let's give him a better name.
Rodrigo. I'm going to call him Rodrigo.
Yeah, but I knew Rodrigo, and he was a cool guy. It's Roger.
It's Rogerio.
It's Roger.
It's Rogerio. But... I just forgot how to pronounce words.
There you go.
It's, oh my god.
With the, yeah,
Rogerio.
The accents over the E.
Rogerio.
That's perfect.
So, Rogerio, everybody was out there drinking, dancing, 2:30 a.m. Some people are like, wow, let's go to bed. And he goes, wait, wait, I have a surprise.
So he set this up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
He literally went through a whole entire wedding, waited until 2:30 in the morning and was like, wait, y'all, I have a surprise. So he gets like the group of people who are with him. He goes over to his truck. He pulls out a revolver, rejoins the group, hugs and kisses his new bride. Like, I love you so much. Pulls the revolver out, shoots her in the head.
I can't imagine what's wrong with someone to do that. And you and I and anyone listening will see, these things are, they're very common. In fact, looking up statistics, because we're both researchers, well, that's really too small to see. It's a national statistics website that I pulled up, but god damn, I can't read that. Well, anyway, 72% of all murder-suicides involve an intimate partner. So while the topic of serial killers and unsolved cases, things like that, are typically more talked about, these are far more common. And speaking of this situation with Rogerio.
Rogerio.
Yeah, the accent gets me every time. That's why I didn't pass Spanish for. That's all. The situation where the man is killing the woman, it happens 94% of the time in these 72% of all murder suicides. So 94% of the time, the victim of these murder suicides are female.
So getting a shirt that says the husband did it is entirely accurate.
It's entirely accurate. And that's why most investigators say, well, it's always someone close to him. The husband did it, right? If you say the husband did it and you have a 94% success rate, if you knew someone was involved that was related to them, well, that's an A. That's an A minus, right?
An A's an A.
So he's going to be detective in no time. So tell me more about Roger. It's
Rogerio.
Roger.
Okay, so Rogerio, he hugs, he kisses his new bride, shoots her in the head, open fires on his guests, who are like running and screaming by this point, specifically his best man, who he shot repeatedly in the head until he turned the gun to his own head and then shot himself.
So let's see. How many people was that he killed?
It's three.
Three people? And it was his wife amongst the...
It was himself, his wife, and his best man.
Now, you have to wonder, was something going on between the best man and the wife?
Well, like, so...
Why...
That's what...
Just those two.
Rogerio was wondering. All of the guests, super confused. They're saying, I don't understand. They were together for 3 years. They were wonderful together. It seems like it's premeditated because he brought the gun to his wedding, first of all, in his truck, and then told them to wait for his surprise. But by all accounts of talking to the wedding guests, he was totally happy during and after the wedding. So why go through a whole entire wedding ceremony if this was your plan all along?
Maybe he was so happy because he was just waiting for this moment.
Possibly. After talking to family members more extensively, they discovered that Rogerio was known to have fits of jealousy.
Oh, there you go.
And nothing was as rosy as it seemed. He'd in the past accused a family member of flirting with Renata, and they got into a really big altercation. It was a big deal. And he was additionally known for having a
He accused who?
A family member.
So they either got a weird family, or he's making some great assumptions about how their family interacts with each other.
Well, I mean, if it was like his family member flirting with his wife, weren't related, it would just be
he doesn't
sleaziest of moves.
He wouldn't kill his brother, just his best friend.
Yes. So I guess what ended up being, after talking to a bunch of people and kind of trying to suss it out, is the theory is that he had psychological jealousy. And that's a psychological disorder where the person is preoccupied with the thought that their spouse is unfaithful without having any proof. So he had no proof. By all accounts, his best man, Marcelo, was like a wonderful family man. He had a wife. He had two kids. There was no reason for him to be jealous, but he built it all up in his head and convinced himself that his wife and best man were having an affair, and then snapped, shot both of them and himself.
So psychological jealousy, that could be a real thing, but I think it just justifies what he did.
It's right? A real thing.
Right, but even if you have psychological jealousy, you can control yourself not to kill people, right?
Oh, no, cases? I mean, I'm not saying that I think he's justified by any means. It's just, that's the only, I mean, they had no sort of motive or no sort of reason. So based on his past, like, actions, this was the only kind of explanation that they could come up with as to why he would even do this. Are you ready for my advice now?
I'm ready for your advice.
One advice, just cancel the wedding and save some money. Take that saved money, get a therapist.
Worst case scenario, if the food's already paid for, you freeze it and you have meals for days.
Days. You have meals for months, 200 people. I'm going to eat this wedding chicken for the rest of my life.
How many people were at your wedding?
100.
About double that size. That's probably about what we had.
You had 200 people at your wedding?
No. About the same as yours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the same.
I was like, I was at your wedding.
All the same family, more or less. I don't remember
seeing that. Oh, I totally forgot about this. So, Rogerio's father also, after all of this happened, he tried to hide the murder weapon. So he took the gun and, like, hid it in his car, because he was trying to protect his son and, I guess, act like someone just flew into their wedding and shot the three of them and then, like, flooped out.
Didn't they witness?
Well, yeah, that was the problem because, one, it was really obvious what happened. Two, there was like 196 witnesses. So then it was like the next day he felt bad or realized that he was not going to get away with this. So he went and turned the gun in. But then he ended up going to jail for hiding evidence and obstructing justice.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. And he should.
And that is my wedding murder.
That's pretty terrible.
I think the reason that this one just stood out to me is because there's something about turning what everybody calls the best day of your life into what's obviously the worst day of your life that
it's,
I just found
basically the same,
so interesting.
It's basically the same story as our theme song, right? The wedding was happy. Everybody was great. They probably played the wedding chorus at their wedding.
I'm sure they did. A little foreshadowing.
It's true, weddings are stressful, and sometimes couples don't even make it to that wedding. It's almost like the planning is a stress test, right? Like, you know, you succeed at this and you should be good to go, which, based on how many ideas we have for this podcast already, we know is not the case. But how about this couple here? I found this article. Colorado Springs bride-to-be allegedly kills fiancé over wedding guest. So they didn't even make it to their wedding. So technically, they shouldn't even be on this podcast, right? But they were pretty close.
They were in the process. Close enough.
Police here. This is a KKTV reports. Police said the woman became enraged over a potential guest at her wedding. So according to the arrest papers, this woman, 31 years old, Jacqueline, she called 911 to say her fiancé, Brandon, was bleeding in their kitchen. And when police arrived, they found him dead on the kitchen floor and a bloody knife on the kitchen table. And she told them that she thought her groom-to-be was having an affair and wanted to invite the other woman to the wedding. So she didn't try to cover it up. She left the murder weapon on the table. I think, you know, if you're done, just walk away.
You don't have to stab him. You can just cancel the wedding.
Here's the crazy thing about this story. So the murder weapon's on the table. This happened July of 2018, so about a year ago. She bonded out of jail the same week when she was charged with second-degree murder. I thought if you had, like, a closed and shut case, something like that, where she said that she thought she was going to invite this woman he was cheating with, they wouldn't allow for that.
You'd think her bond would be set pretty high. I'm assuming she has a trial date or had a trial or...
Oh, I'm sure she has.
Is she just walking free among us?
There was no additional details to this story. That's all I could find. So I like to imagine that she ran away, owes that bond of probably $2 million, and is living happily unmarried for the rest of her life. Not in Colorado.
She should probably buy a pet. I'm just going to suggest an easy pet that you don't have to worry about sharing an affection. Maybe a goldfish.
Yeah, she's clearly okay with death, so goldfish is probably a good bet for her.
New pet a week.
There you go.
So, our pet peeve, which I don't think really personally applies to us, but I know that it's a really big pet peeve, so much so that they made a show about it, is bridezillas. So I don't think that Kelly, my sister, and I were really bridezillas.
No, I don't think so. You guys were pretty easygoing.
We were the calmest of calms.
You guys handle stress pretty well.
So let me just blow your mind about what you could have dealt with. So here's a couple bridezillas that were like the top of the charts on Reddit. One, a bridezilla made her bridesmaids dye their hair brown so she could be the only blonde. She also charged her guests $80 for dinner at her wedding and told them that she expected a gift with a value over $50.
Well, at least she's specific. I mean, you don't have to guess what she wants. I mean, I've seen the show Bridezillas before, and some
of
them are...
That means you have to pay $130 to go to her wedding.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
So then the second one, which is truly awful...
Although she wouldn't be my friend either, that's for sure.
There is a bridezilla who threw a temper tantrum, complete with screaming and foot stomping, because her grandmother had the audacity to die a few hours before her wedding, and she was upset because it would, I quote, throw off her seating arrangements.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
She could be a murderer. She has no empathy.
She's a psychopath.
She is.
So if you're on the same page as us and you're thinking, wow, rude, I agree with you wholeheartedly. So let me paint you this hypothetical picture of our terrible pet peeve bridesmaid. So you propose to your seemingly wonderful girlfriend.
Well, hold on. I have to interject here with one thing. When Kelly and I were engaged, my brother got me a book, which was, I think it was called the Guide to Being a Groom, or the Groom's Guide, something like that. And there was a specific chapter about how to deal with your fiancé. And I remember, and I gave this book to your now husband when you guys were planning your wedding. It talked about how the woman you love is no longer the woman you love. Until the wedding date or thereafter, she is now your fiancé. So she might be very different, highly emotional, you know, things like that. Things that are blown out of proportion because it's a comedy book and how to plan, but... I think that's true in a lot of cases. It's so much stress that it pushes you to the edge in some way.
I definitely agree with that. I feel like there's so many situations that you're like, planning a wedding will be fun. I love red. And then everybody's like, well, I'm going to bring my 18 friends and kids. So let me just put that on my RSVP where you invited two people.
I had that on one of our RSVP cards. We had plus one, and they changed it from a one to a two, so they could bring more than their plus one.
Yeah, we had somebody ask Nick, I think the day before our wedding, if they could bring someone.
Did he just not respond to that text?
He said no, but he didn't even ask me about it because he knew that I would just, like, cry.
That was a good call.
He's a good
call. It could have pushed you over the edge.
He saved himself from getting murdered that day.
That day. We'll see what comes in the weeks following this.
Yes. Okay, so you proposed to your was-wonderful girlfriend. The second that ring hits her finger, it's like the portal to hell has been opened inside of your brain.
I got the picture.
In other words, she's your fiancé now. She's throwing out all your clothes and telling you that they look terrible. She's uninviting your family members to the wedding because she doesn't think they'll look good in pictures. She screams bride's day, bride's way every single time you disagree with her.
That's like live, laugh, love.
I kind of wish that I would have known the bride's day, bride's way phrase. I feel like I would have used that ironically at least once.
I'm sure. I probably would have said it to you.
And then finally, the worst of all, she is plotting ways to disfigure her bridesmaids so they look uglier than her on her wedding day. What are you going to do?
Is that why some brides pick bridesmaids' dress that are just awful?
It has to
be. I've always wondered that.
Or they pick like a terrible color because they're like, you know what color I really love? Kelly green with like purple flowers and pink hearts. That's my favorite things, and I would like you to wear that and embody that on my wedding day.
Now, I know you for a fact. Let's be clear. That's not your favorite things. You like gray and murder.
So. And at my wedding, everyone wore gray and probably talked about murder.
Yeah, that is true. They all wore gray.
It was gray and then burgundy, which was to represent the blood.
Yeah, that fits you. That fits you well.
So for our very first hypothetical murder, I bring to you poison rings.
I like it.
So, poison rings, if you don't know, which I feel like you should, you just have the face of someone who knows about poison rings. I'm an
alchemist in my spare time, you know.
So it's a ring with like a giant stone on it, but really the stone is hollow.
This is a real thing?
Yes.
I thought this was like your idea. They actually have poison rings?
Oh my gosh. It was a really big deal in the past, like for spies or in Victorian eras, you'd wear giant rings and then you'd probably keep drugs in them, but also they kept poison. So they could, if you were a spy, you could poison yourself really subtly. Okay, if you got caught, right. Or you could poison the king if you were just like, I don't know, happened to smack his meat like while you
ring,
passed
like
by.
A ring that you open up and it's got like a poison powder in it, something like
yes,
that?
Yes, it's like a locket, but it's a ring.
Okay, I see.
So they're a real thing, and surprisingly, you can buy a ton of them on like Amazon and Etsy, and they probably have some knockoff version at Target. They're everywhere. I did a Google. I could have bought 30 of them.
Probably for less than $30, too.
So generally in history, it's been poison that they would hide in there. But now I was like reading, like, what do I do with my poison ring? Because that's an article on the internet. And it's great for holding like one M&M in case you're ever feeling like you just need one tiny piece of chocolate.
Maybe an aspirin. Or poison.
Okay, an aspirin. I went for M&M, but... So this is my plan, all right? One, so you buy one of these poison rings, blue stone specifically. I will get back to that later, but don't forget it. Secondly, you buy it under your fiancé's name. You send it to her address. You use her credit card. You're getting married. Excellent. You should have this info. So then next you intercept the package, which if you track it should be pretty easy. You just camp outside her front porch for a while, hope she doesn't have any Amazon deliveries that are coming.
And hopefully the police don't pick you up for that before the wedding.
So then, well, it's your fiance. You just say you're waiting for your fiance. Surprise party. I don't know.
I'd buy that if I was a cop.
All right. So next you have the ring, you fill it with poison.
Okay.
Any poison. Poison of your choice. Rat poison. Poison. Arsenic.
Cyanide.
Whatever floats your poisony boat.
Ricin.
So then you hide this ring in a safety deposit box, fireproof safe, anywhere where it seems like you've been keeping this for a really long time and like it's in the safest place you have. If that is the trunk of your car, we have bigger issues to talk about. So then... what you have to do is you convince your fiance that you have this really expensive, important, great aunt Gertrude, who's like 137's ring. One, so it's your something
around the ring.
Okay. Yes, it's your something old. Two, it's blue. It's your something blue. And cap it all off, it's your something borrowed.
Perfect.
So you just need to tell her it's worth so much money, it's very authentic, all real gold, super expensive, and then she'll want to wear it, being the bridezilla that she is. So then, spend the rest of your time leading up to the wedding being awful. Just create stressful situations out of nothing. So your bridezilla says things like, oh my god, this wedding is going to kill me, or I will die if these flowers aren't correct. I'm talking like call setting the florist the stage for your and alibi. Switching out some flower colors so she goes to look at them and has a complete meltdown.
Oh, that's pretty dastardly. That's like gaslighting.
Which is terrible, but in this situation, we're using it to our full advantage.
So we're assuming that you're in the mind of a murderer.
Yes.
So pretty much anything goes, so go yes. for it.
I mean, you're hypothetically murdering someone. Anything else you do is just collateral damage at that point. All right, so here comes the hard part.
I thought you were going to say, here comes the bride.
Okay, here comes the hard part. It's the day of the wedding. So you get your drinks, you're going to do a toast, you get your food, whatever is like
the... This is after the ceremony?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the...
The thing after the ceremony?
Oh my god. What is that called?
You know it.
I don't. If you would just tell me.
I can't think of it right now.
You have the ceremony, and then afterwards
the
you
party.
Have the party, but there's a specific name for it.
It's been too long since it's
I've since been either married of our so weddings. Long. I'm so old. Oh my god, you have the ceremony.
Reception.
Jesus. Reception. Okay, so you're in the reception. Reception. I'm just going to say it 9,000 times now. You have your food, you have your drink. I suggest.
This is at the reception, right?
Yes. Okay, at the reception, sure. You're recepting. All your guests. So you need to practice this a bunch at home. So what you're going to do is you're going to have the ring on her finger and you are going to, like a magician, bump it open.
Well, I am a magician, so go on. I need to know how to do this properly.
You will bump it open so the contents spill out into her food or drink. Doesn't matter unless you decide horribly to pick some poison that it matters. Just... pick a generic enough poison that it can go in food or drink. And then when you slide your hand back, you have to close it. So it's not obvious that a ring is just suddenly flopping open.
Like one motion.
Yes.
Reach past
it. I highly suggest after you order this ring and pick it up, do it enough in advance so you have a bunch of time to just sit alone in your room with your creepy murderer thoughts and just practice flicking a ring open and closed. But like subtly.
Oh, the jokes, Laura, the jokes. Alone in a room flicking your ring. Is that what
yes.
you said? Okay. Just
your
making
ring.
Sure we're clear what we're doing.
Okay, so the contents spill out into her food and drink. She consumes it. She's poisoned. She dies. You are shocked. You are appalled. You are oh so sad. You immediately run around telling everyone that you've never seen this ring before. You thought that she just bought it to be the most gaudy bridezilla self ever.
She's the only one who knows the Aunt Gertrude story.
Yes. No one else knows about Aunt Gertrude.
She bought it herself on her credit card.
Yes, you're so right. She purchased it herself. It came to her house. It was under her name. And she just committed suicide, or she just decided to end her life over the stress of her wedding and the incorrect shade of the lavender napkins.
It's the perfect murder. I like it. And done in plain sight, which I think is always the best way to avoid suspicion. How could I have done it?
I was sitting right here. I was at the wedding.
Everyone saw, you know, everyone could see me at all times. I don't have any poison on me, although there might. The only risk you would run is having some powder poison residue on your fingers, so wash your hands.
Well, that is
folks,
why
wash your hands always. Just wash your hands.
The ring.
Whether you're a murderer or not.
With poison was step three, and in which case it sits in a safe deposit box for 3 or 4 months, and if you haven't washed your hands in that long...
Oh, I mean the act of bumping and opening the ring to
yes.
dump the contents.
Very true.
That would be the only concern. See, I had a different approach to this. It was more theatrical. And not to get away with it. And actually, I read a story about...
I'm always about getting away with it. What is the point otherwise?
Oh, well, it's for the statement. It's to take that ownership. Which I think is a different view for some people committing a murder, especially with like crimes of passion. They're not thinking about how to get away with it. They're just thinking, I need to end this person's life because they've either done something horrible to me or for some twisted reason in their mind, they think they deserve it.
I think that, yeah, because I always kind of approach it as you're stuck in a sit. Maybe it's being like a girl versus being a guy. Is like you're stuck in a situation that you need to get out of. And so this is like how you're going to escape. And then you don't marry her. You collect the insurance money and you move to Boca Raton.
Perfect.
So I guess my murders are sneaky and I'm not so loud and proud about it.
You should have told me this over 6 years ago. No, I love my wife. It's great. And I actually like role reversal, right? Since most of these heinous murders are done by men and being part of that community, and unfortunately, I gravitate toward the stories where, a woman cuts her husband's penis off and throws it to an alligator in Florida. Those I always love to read, just because the guy's
anything
getting
that
his
happens
finally
in Florida, I love to read.
Yeah, just we should just order a Florida newspaper and have it delivered here. But I read this story about a woman in Tennessee who was arrested just hours after she was married because she allegedly, they say, pointed a gun at her groom's head during an argument they had. So wherever they went, hotel, whatnot. The best part of the story is that a witness told, I don't know how a witness saw this, but a witness told police that during their argument, she pulled the gun out of her wedding dress and pulled the trigger. Now, I like this because wedding dresses are huge.
That means she has a holster somewhere.
Exactly.
In
this
her
is Tennessee,
wedding dress.
Right? Right? So you're in the Bible Belt. You got some cowboys. Most of them are country singers, but there's probably some authentic ones there.
Been Googling lots of murders because I was reading about how bra holsters are really popular now.
That's a good idea, actually.
But the problem is that some of them, if you don't buy a quality one, but it can shift around. And there was a woman who was wearing her gun in her bra holster, and it shifted around, and then she accidentally shot herself in the head.
Oh, wow. I was hoping for a slightly more comedic headline, like a woman shoots self in boob or something like that. Not the head. That's tragic.
The key word there was, I've been Googling murders.
That's not murder. That's oops.
Self-inflicted murder, I suppose.
Yeah.
So let's just assume that the Tennessee bride had her gun in her bra holster, because that is, I feel, by far the most easy access holster for you wearing a giant fluffy wedding gown.
Well, and it got me thinking, what else can you fit under a wedding dress? Especially if you have one of those really big ones, long trains, you can put anything under there. But I like the idea of after the wedding, at the, what's that thing called?
The reception.
The reception.
Would you like to talk about receptions?
Yes, there's my cell phone reception's not very good in here. The reception at the wedding. During that part where they play some stupid song it means it's time for the man to go under the woman's dress and get the garter off.
Oh, James Bond.
Yeah, they do James Bond.
That's what you did.
Oh, is that what I did?
You did like the dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You held your hand like a fake gun.
Oh, there's no way I did that.
You definitely did.
Show me a video. There's absolutely no way I held my hand with a fake gun. You're thinking of a different brother-in-law.
Oh, man. My sister's other husband that I have a podcast with.
Her what?
Yeah, his name is Jeremu.
I'm not jealous anymore. Jeremy, that's fine. But I like the idea of if she's fed up with him and just wants his life to end during that song, which is...
I can't stop thinking about Jeremy.
What is Jeremy? Is that a cow version of me? Or just a version
it's
of
like
me that drinks
you?
Way too much milk?
It's like you, if you were like a chocolate milk cow...
Hey, that reminds me. Kelly got this milk. It's True Moo. Have you heard of that brand?
Yeah.
It's called True Moo After Dark.
And
it's like milk with
sexy
flavor.
Milk?
It's very sexy milk. Vanilla chai vanilla chai was the one flavor, and the other was salted dark chocolate, salted caramel.
Wow, that is kind of sexy for milk.
It is sexy for milk, but I was like, After Dark kind of means like kids cannot have this.
It means like the cow on the front of Trumu is wearing lingerie. That's what it means.
It's not like that vodka chocolate milk I had once, which was a bad idea. Because you don't want to drink too much milk anyway. Plus the vodka.
But that's maybe the after dark is that you're supposed to be spiking it.
Maybe. Maybe that's what they're trying to suggest.
All right. For if we have a dirty fridge episode, spiked Trumu after dark.
Brilliant. I like it. Well, we'll go into that in the fridge episode, but if someone's not maintaining their fridge, I'd like to see them kill themselves. So if, like, the wife is the one who cleans it out, she just doesn't clean it out anymore. One day the husband opens it up and boom, drops dead because there's mold and mildew. And
oh, I thought you were going to go for, like, he opened the fridge and it was packed so full it avalanched on top of him and then he just got smothered by just, like, maybe we should have this for meat and cheese. Now we don't even have to do that's it. That's how we murder episode people with fridges. Episode 2
in the books.
Boom. It's a 2-in-1.
So while he's reaching up her dress to get the garter off, she has the garter attached to a string that has the revolver on the other side of her leg or wherever. And so when he pulls it, boop, pulls the string, bam, shoots him.
I feel like, so basically she cannot dance or sit down until after the garter toss.
Well, if the gun is on the outside of her thigh and she has one of those larger dresses with like the hoop in it.
No, I'm just worried about the garter shifting around because those things are a motherfucker.
They move and around? I assume they were kind of like tight, you know. They wouldn't like slide up and down.
Well, I guess
it would have to slide a lot though.
Yeah, because, I guess know, they're pretty tight. I just remember like itching it a lot.
Oh, well. Even more of a reason to kill a man over such a chauvinistic thing as going up her dress to get the garter off. How about that?
All right. I like that one. That's beautiful. Way to end a wedding with a bang.
Beautiful. That should be the end of the episode. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Is there any other marriage-related murders you want to talk about? Or I think we've covered everything that we brought to the table tonight.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good. We both made it through our weddings, so in the upcoming weeks, we're going to dive in past all of the beautiful white dresses and men in tuxes to the real dirty, disgusting life that is married.
Yeah,
marriage.
Yeah. Marriage might get harder, but this is our first episode, so it's for us. It should only get better from here.
So remember that while marriage is messy, even at the beginning,
murder's far messier. And also,
you can always elope in Vegas.